House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February 27, 2015, the 32nd day of the session. Today is the deadline, last day for bills to be reported out of committee in the second house. If you have a bill hung up in committee, you should be talking to that committee chairman. Monday, March the 2nd, is the last day for committee of the whole. In that regard, I'm doing some calculating, and it looks like we've got something in the order of 31, 32, 33 bills, somewhere in there left. We've got 2 days to do them. Madam Majority Floor Leader can only do so much. It requires some cooperation from us. I think we ought to get through them all. I'm not a big fan of holding bills back. Unless there's a really good reason. But I'm not a big fan of seeing them die just because we don't get the work done. So if you don't need to saw sawdust, why, please consider not doing so. And if there's a more succinct way to do something, and if there are amendments that you'd really like to work on, consider maybe doing some of those on second reading, although ultimately we'll have the same kind of a deadline on second reading. So the more efficient we can be, the better we can do, and with a little bit of consideration for each other, I think we can get through them all. Then Tuesday, the next day, as I said, we'll have the same thing again because that'll be the last day for second reading. But sometimes we can divide things out between committee of the whole and second reading and get all our work done that way. So just something to think about, and I'll appreciate all the help we can have. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin,
here.
Barlow,
here.
Berger,
here.
Blackburn,
here.
Blake,
here.
Burkhart, Bird,
here.
Campbell,
here.
Kennedy,
here.
Clem,
here.
Connolly, Dayton,
here.
Edmonds. Edmonds, Edwards,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Greer, Halverson,
here.
Harshman, Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux, Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup,
here.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Piperinen,
here.
Pinnell,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Schwartz,
here.
Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Walters,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters, excused, Zwanitz or Dan,
here.
Zwanitz or Dave?
Here.
Mr. Speaker?
Here.
Burkhart?
Here.
Connolly?
Here.
Greer?
Excuse.
Greer, excused. Harshman?
Here.
Moniz?
Here.
Moniz, excused. Nicholas?
Here.
56 present, 4 excused.
The prayer for the day is offered by Father August Caney, representing St. Mary's Cathedral.
On July 5, 1840, at the Fur Trappers Rendezvous on the Upper Green River, Jesuit missionary Father Pierre de Smet celebrated a Roman Catholic Mass. Father DeSmith addressed the congregation in French and in English, and also spoke to the Indians in attendance. It must have been a remarkable event. Canadians singing hymns in French and Latin, the Indians singing in their native tongues. A small half-moon-shaped chapel built of native rock and wood surrounded by a cross is a memorial to the event. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the spirit of Father DeSmet, who brought peoples of different cultures to worship and praise in your name. May this legislative body always pass laws that respect religious freedom of all peoples. Lord, thank you for allowing us to worship you in so many different cultures and languages in this state. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball!
General report.
Your journal committee reports that the journal of February 26, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representatives Steinmetz and Schwartz.
Messages from the Senate.
Message 365. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 186, Human Trafficking, Forfeiture of Property. Ayes 6, noes 23, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 366. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway. Ayes 29, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 367. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 45, Digital Information Privacy Task Force Reappropriation. Ayes 29, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 368. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 119, Hospice Respite Care, Ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 370. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 144, Education, School Safety and Security. The House bill listed below passed on the third reading. And those votes were ayes 16, noes 13, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 371, Mr. Speaker, Senate File number 30, Camp Guernsey Range Management Fund. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 2, noes 27. Excused 1, the Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee to number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 372, Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 73, Development of Education Standards. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1. By the votes listed here, ayes 26, noes 3, excused 1. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 373, Mr. Speaker, the motion to reconsider the third reading vote on the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate by the vote indicated. The bill is indefinitely postponed. House Bill number 186, Human Trafficking, Forfeiture of Property. Ayes 14, noes 15, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like privilege of the floor.
Yes,
please
proceed.
With great honor, I want to introduce the doctor of the day, Dr. Joe McGinley in the back from Casper. He's a blessing to the state and to Casper. He is has many titles. He's a doctor of radiology. He has a DO, MD, radiology, orthopedic surgeon. He's a mechanical engineer, and most of all today he's an inventor. He has a device and several devices, and there's a device that's actually going to probably change a lot of how orthopedic surgeries are done and make it safer for the patient. It's called the Intella. What is it? It's a drill device. It just got approved by the FDA just in the last week or so, and it's a big hurdle he's been working on, and it's a great accomplishment for him, and his wife, his lovely wife, Diane, and little Charlie are up there, and Charlie is a donut-eating machine, wants to get down to the break room, and just give them all a warm welcome. They're great people. Okay.
Welcome to the house, Doctor. Now, we need a couple inventions around here that I'll discuss with you at a later time. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not often I have an old elk hunting buddy of mine come down here, but it's kind of a different story. He was 4 years old when he went elk hunting with myself and his father, and it was the most horrendous elk hunting trip ever. We'd shot some elk way back in the trails up out of Bondurant, Wyoming. We had two elk on the horses. We had a rodeo with one of the horses. And he couldn't keep up on the trail. So I said, we got to put him up on the horse. So we put Caleb up on the horse, on top of the elk. We told him to hang on to the elk hair. And we went 8 miles back to camp, and he made it all the way. And also, he's a freelance camera operator. He's been working with PBS. So you may have seen him behind the camera here for the State of the State Address and Capital Outlook. Please welcome from Riverton, formerly of Evanston and Green River, Caleb Blakeman and his fiancée, Erin Fox.
The nurse of the day is Julia Benke from Weston County Health Services. Please welcome her to the house. My fellow House members, joining us this morning to provide some Wyoming entertainment is Echo Roy Klaproth, the state's poet laureate who was appointed by Governor Meade in July of 2013. Echo is a fourth-generation Wyoming rancher who hails from Shoshone. She's also a writer, retired teacher, and ordained minister. Please help me in welcoming Wyoming's poet laureate, Echo Roy Klaproth.
Thank you all so much. It's an honor. It's an honor to be here again. It's been an honor. It's been a busy last couple of years traveling around. It's been a blessing to work with people of all ages across our state. I've been in senior citizen centers and worked with service organizations and writing groups and conferences, but I'm a former teacher, and so my heart is with students, and so my biggest joy has always come from working with students across the state, and it's been an amazing ride for me. Last year, they had me come down, and I was here on opening day, and if I remember correctly, the poem I wrote for you, I intended to be kind of like a kickstart to help you get going for the session, but this year, towards the end of the session, how many of you are tired and ready to go home? Yeah. Cool. Well, then I hope today to be maybe a little breath of fresh air for a couple of minutes here, but I'm going to ask you, you have to participate. I used to use this strategy with students in the classroom on busy days and on those times when they would come in from something hectic and active and I had to start talking to them about English. So I'm going to ask you all if you will join me to lean back in your chairs. Put down your phones and your paperwork that you're looking at. Just lean back in your chair. And if you're so inclined, close your eyes. Just join me for a few minutes. Nobody fell asleep in the Senate. It's okay. You can do this. I'm going to ask you to travel Wyoming through my eyes. I titled it, The View from Here. I am the sun radiating, God resonating from shades of denim, the expanse of blue, washed often with rainbow of colors, an early morning cast or a late afternoon hue. I am high mountain air, swirling shapes of mist, and the wind blowing biting through the times, as aspen and cottonwood endure the seasons, lean with the wind-hewn cedar, elm, and pines. I'm snowbanks clinging to mountain walls, slicing their way through the land in their thaws, surrendering their fate as creeks and rivers, slithering to the sea down ravines and draws. I am the miles and miles from here to there, woven across the view from lofty rims, a laurel of sage amidst prairie grasses, patterned with pronghorn and signs of men. I am swaths of alfalfa and fields of grain, red-walled canyons, grasslands and dunes, ancient petroglyphs and open-pit mines, littered with fences and roadways festoon. I am immensity and propensity, a last frontier story held in measure, mostly by the wealth of reserves stored below those pockets of mammon held as treasure, still all the while, sitting out in plain view, stands that grandness, transcendent and sublime, where immeasurable is the value of living without obstruction on the edge of time. Thank you so much, folks, for all what you do for all of us in this state. I know you're tired, but we applaud you. We give you thanks for all the hard work you do on our behalf. God bless you all.
Thank you, Echo, for being here today. Representative Campbell.
Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Echo is a blessing to our community. She's our chaplain at our hospice center, and she conducts many of the funerals for many of the people in our area, and we all truly love her and appreciate her. Thank you for having her here.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, next week, with sort of the wind down, and especially for freshmen, there's a whole lot of hurry up and wait, and so there will be quite a bit of downtime. And so there's things that we try to do to alleviate the boredom and fill in the gaps when there's when we're waiting on conference committee reports and things like that. So usually, what we usually had was that our old doorman, Keith Rounds, would come in and recite some cowboy poetry, but he retired. So in honor of the fact that our next week will be our last week in the Capitol for at least 2 or 3 years, we've devised something of a scavenger hunt. For anybody who would like to participate, just do your own research on the Internet or wherever you can find it and come up with some factoids about our Capitol, that whether it be its history or its architectural design or things like that. And when we have some downtime, come up and share them. And so I will lead us off and say that I learned this morning that our Capitol was completed after 4 years, started in 1886, was completed in 1890, so it will be its 125th anniversary along with the state. But most interestingly, it was completed at a cost of $150,000. So times have changed.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please.
And to follow that up, there's one dowel somewhere in the Capitol that's upside down. The Amish that built the Capitol felt that the only thing that was perfect was God's work, and so out of imperfection, they purposely left one of those dowels upside down. So see if you can find that. Also, Mr. Speaker, it's not often someone from my office shows up here. I want to introduce Pat Graham up there, and he's sitting up in the north balcony.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 141, engrossed State Budget Development, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 146, engrossed Spending Policy Amendments, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
now without order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 354 on House Bill 31, maybe. Representative Kasparek, are you doing this one?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence to message number 354. It's House Bill 31, exemption of water utilities, and urge her aye vote. As we looked at the amendments from the Senate, they're really just grammatical in nature and probably just do more to improve the bill. So I urge her aye vote.
Any discussion on the motion? We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 31. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem. Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparek, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters, excused, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 31. The next bill for our consideration is message number 357 on House Bill 100. Chairman Swanitzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on message 357 to House Bill 100. That is the House bill on highway funding, had to relate to the fuel tax, and they just want to make sure that it's only used in the maintenance and stuff. What the other body did was just added some fluff. They wanted to add the fact that after a comprehensive report, that there would also be on revenue and expenditures attributable to the 2013 increase. And then they, in some respects, put in a sunset date on it. On page 2, after the last word in line 16, it just say each year from the effective date of this act through November 15th, 2020. So I would ask for your aye vote.
Representative Greer, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm looking at this on page 2, so we get to this. What the other house has done is deleted out that qualifier, what the funds could be expended for. Am I reading that wrong? Because I'm seeing here, page 2, line 10, is that they deleted that out. So what we had in the bill. Okay, I just want to make sure I get this right, Mr. Speaker. Well, I was still looking at that, and I guess I'd question this. So we took out what we said and shall only be expended to maintain the state highway system and to prepare the report required by this paragraph. And what was substituted in there is on revenue and expenditures attributable to the 2013 increase, which was the fuel tax. increase. Does that make that clearer, or does that make that more confusing? And I'll put that as a question to the chairman.
Chairman Madden, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I talked to the bringer of that amendment, and his logic behind it was that if we sublimit it forever just to maintenance, that gives a justification for not using it on things like new lanes on Highway 59 and stuff like that. As far as the short-term plans for the department, they're still going to use it for maintenance. It's just a thing that's down the road that, from now until 2020, it kind of ties their hands a little bit, and that was the logic behind the sponsor of that amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor, Representative Greer?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. With a busy morning trying to get everything lined out. So what I see this as being is a fundamental shift from this body saying that the fuel tax increase will be spent on maintenance to that the fuel tax will be spent on whatever, and then we'll be given a report. It says the department shall provide a comprehensive report on the revenue and expenditures attributable to the 2013 increase, which means there's no restriction on where those are spent or any direction on where those are spent. So just want to make sure we're clear on what's going on. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
And thank you, Mr. Speaker. Of course, the fine chairman from Revenue is the prime sponsor on this one, and we're more than happy to go back and talk about the clarification if the body here feels that there's the need to be. This whole bill was just, in my opinion, kind of a feel-good bill. But so either way you want to, it's fine.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 100. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards. Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart, Laux, Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
no.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters, excused. Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Lockhart. Lockhart excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any? Berger?
No.
Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Eklund? Aye to no. Are there additional changes? Blake? Aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 17 aye, 40 no, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 100. The next bill for our consideration is message number 361 on House Bill 174, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message 361 which is House Bill 174, and ask for your concurrence. The Senate went in and changed the definition from e-liquids to liquid nicotine container, and it actually fit the purposes of the bill better.
And then you can see that they did that throughout the bill. Technical correction on page 4. Well, on page, on the beginning of the bill, and then also in the body of the bill, it eliminates schools down through preschools. And the reason to do that is that most school districts in the state have their own tobacco-related policies, and if they want to add the e-cigarettes into that, they certainly can. But it's a matter of local control. And so for those reasons, I think that they did some improvements on the bill, and I would vote I ask you to vote aye to concur with the Senate amendments.
Discussion on the motion. We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 174. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
no. Aye. Aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart excused, Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz, Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Wilson,
no.
Winters, excused, Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Are there any? Halverson, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Are there additional changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 8 no, 3 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 174. The next message for our consideration is message number 370 on House Bill 144, Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to not to concur with message number 370 on House Bill 144 and ask that you vote no. What they've done?
Representative Northrup, would you consider changing that to a motion to concur and ask people to vote no?
Yes, sir, I would.
Thank you.
So I move to concur and ask you to vote no on House Bill 144, message number 370. Thank you. What they have done is the Senate went in there and added two more positions back onto the data safety or the no-tell tip line, and then they also threw some more money back in it, and appropriations people and myself would like to go talk to them and see what they were thinking about. So vote no, please.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 144. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton. Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton. Excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Piperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters excused. Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Blake, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 9 aye, 48 no, 3 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 144. The next order of business is bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 11. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 11 from Senator Christensen, an act relating to junk dealers.
There is an amendment. Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. If the body, well, Mr. Speaker, I would move second reading amendment number one to Senate file number 11 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd, if you remember our junk discussion yesterday, I think there was some junky language that had been put into this bill. And if you go to page 2 and you look at what's transpired, if you kind of start at page 1, actually, and look in subsection A and look at the old language, not the underlying new language, and you'll see that it kind of flows. And then you go to page 2 and it would have flowed and had a comma and then said an accurate account, or it would have said in the English language of all junk metal or rubber goods, purchases or sold, and then there was an and the name and the residence of the person selling or buying. So in the old statute, there was an intentional and if you look at the way this is constructed now with Romanets 1, 2, 3, and 4, they're all ors. So they're all saying you can do this or this, so it's an accurate account and description of all junk metal or rubber goods purchased or sold, or the name and address of the person selling and buying, or, and that's not, I don't think, what was intended in the bill. So what this amendment does is it goes in on line, on page 2, line 11, it goes in page 2, line 9. Yep, I got it drafted in here. So page 2, line 9, and at the end of the line, it puts in an and. So the first two things are going to be, they have to do, an accurate account and description, and two, the name and residence of the person. And then we're going to go and we're going to create a Romanet 3. What this amendment does is create a Romanet 3 and says if the person is selling junk metal and rubber goods, then A would apply, because we're going to take Romanet 3 and make it an A, the license plate number of the person's vehicle, if applicable, or, and we're going to say B, and we're changing this language to say verification of the person's name and residence through, I can't read my own writing, through presentation of the person's United States, federal, or state-issued photo ID. So basically what we're saying there is if you're selling, then you have to either provide the license plate number or verification of your name and residence. And we get rid of the photo ID and all of that, and I think that's a good cleanup and gets to where I think it was intended to go. Thank you.
Representative Coker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I spoke to the bill sponsor, and he said that he considers this a friendly amendment. And I think this is a good compromise because the intent behind the bill was just to make sure that the person is who he says he is, so we have that check. The junk dealer is already required to record his name and address. This just says if it's over $50, he checks the ID just to make sure the guy is who he says he is, so we know that record's complete. But I think it takes care of all the privacy concerns because now they're not keeping a photocopy of anything in their files.
Anyone else for the first time? Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 11. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 11 has passed. Senate File 11, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 47. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 47 from Senator Case, an act relating to cities and towns.
Senate File 47, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 95. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 95 from Senator Coe, an act relating to operation of motor vehicles.
Senate File 95, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 100. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 100 from Senator Escobel, an act relating to controlled substances prescription tracking program.
Senate File 100, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 124. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 124 from Senator Cooper, an act relating to sales and use tax.
Senate File 124, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 130. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 130 from Senator Burns, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery.
Senate File 130, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 132. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 132 from Senator Scott, an act relating to housing discrimination.
There is an amendment. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move the amendment number 1 to Senate File 132 and ask for your considerable favorable consideration today. And this looks like a long amendment, but it's really just deleting some things and deleting some numbers out of here. So the first substantial change is on page 31, lines 8 through 12. And that is where we're deleting the enforcing agency shall sue to recover civil penalty under this section. And everything we're deleting has to do with the civil penalty and who is working with that. So we're deleting that. Then we turn to page 34 and 35. And we're deleting line 14 through 18. And this is where our own attorney general is the one handling this. So I would contend that this is a pretty substantial change in how things are being handled. Our attorney general is working. I will remind you that our enforcing authority could be a nonprofit organization. And so to me, this looks like the attorney general is then working at the behest of a nonprofit organization that is not under the complete control of the state. And I don't believe that's appropriate, so we're going to take out these huge fines to vindicate the public interest, assess the civil penalty against the respondent, and the amounts are $50,000 and $100,000, so we're going to delete that. And then on page 35, 40-26-138, subpoena enforcement, and that's just another provision where the Attorney General, on behalf of the enforcing authority, is going to work at their behest. And I don't believe that's the proper role of our Attorney General, to be working for someone that might be a nonprofit or someone who is unidentified in this bill as it stands. And so I would ask you to vote aye on this amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, though I appreciate the bringing it, because I think it helps us to explain more clearly what this bill actually does. And really, with passing the amendment, I would say if you want to kill the bill, just wait and vote against the bill tomorrow, because this what this amendment does is eliminates necessary parts of this bill if we want to have local control over these fair housing issues. And so it becomes a pretty meaningless bill afterwards, and we might as well kill it if we pass this amendment. But looking at more specifically at the provisions that are being cut out, I think it's useful to say, so if you go to page 31, for example, this provides a really good contrast to what the way things are now and the way things are will be once we pass the bill. And that is, the bill, as you see, provides for a civil penalty, and it provides that that penalty be paid into the common school fund in the county in which the offense occurred. And so right now, without the bill, what we have is this exact same civil penalty. It's in 42 U.S.C. 3614, which is federal law. So the exact same penalty applies. There's an enforcing authority, which is the federal agency, which gets the civil penalty. And do you think that civil penalty ends up in the coffers of the state of Wyoming? No, it does not. It ends up in our federal government's hands, where, as under this bill, we have specifically provided the state, it actually goes into the common school fund. So that's, again, one of those improvements, one of those local control benefits that we get with this bill. If you look at the other two provisions that are being deleted, page 34 talks about the civil penalty, the amounts for first offense and second offense. And again, you can find these in 42 U.S.C. 3614, because they exist right now. But the person that brings the action and collects these fees, instead of being Wyoming's attorney general, is the U.S. attorney general. So if you trust the U.S. attorney general more than you trust Wyoming attorney general, you certainly should vote for this amendment and against the bill. But if you believe that the folks downstairs are more accountable to us, are more answerable to us than the U.S. Attorney General, then I would suggest you vote no on the amendment and yes for the bill. And then finally, on the next page, the subpoena enforcement. And again, this is it's interesting because this amendment only takes out the subpoena enforcement. It doesn't take out the right to actually issue a subpoena. And the right to subpoena enforcement right now is, again, 42 U.S.C. 3614. And, again, it's the U.S. Attorney General that enforces those subpoenas and not the Wyoming Attorney General. And so I think if you that provides a really good snapshot of the benefits you actually get from this bill. We bring in all these functions, and we bring them here into the Capitol, where we actually have some ability to review what's going on. There's some accountability. If you think you have the ability to review what's going on by the U.S. Attorney General and you can have any impact at all on how they enforce this bill, then this isn't the bill for you. But, again, I just think the whole purpose of the bill, to bring enforcement into the state and allow us to have a greater level of review and accountability, is a good thing. So vote no against the amendment. And, of course, tomorrow, aye on the bill.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too urge you to resist this amendment. Yeah, it's as simple as this, folks. If this is changed and we do like this amendment says, the feds will say this isn't acceptable to us, and we're going to run it out of. I think they run it for Wyoming. They run it out of the big town to the south of us in another state. So it's not a matter of saying, well, we want to, you know, change the rules or change the fair housing standards that the feds have imposed. All we're arguing about is, do you want the federal government to control the industry or the landlords, I guess you call them, or do you want some state agency to control them using the same laws but just a different apparatus as far as control?
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and for the bill, I think it's important to remember what the Attorney General's duties are, and the Attorney General is the chief law enforcement officer in the state. And I've dealt with the Attorney General in my private life a couple of times, and it's been between two private individuals. So what we have to keep in mind is that the Attorney General is going to be enforcing these laws based on current statute that we'll put in place. It's not just going to be arbitrary rules that this agency is going to come up with.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Zwanis or Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the bill, I think I'm against the amendment, but I just want to make sure we're having a fair and logical debate. We're not actually talking about the U.S. Attorney General in D.C. This would be handled probably through our U.S. Attorney of Wyoming, who does live here locally. Would I be correct in that, or is it really through the Federal Housing Administration and the state to our south? Or on a practical level, how would it work now? I don't want people to start thinking that, you know, D.C. is going to come knocking. I think the people who do enforce this are people who do live in Wyoming, but I just wanted that to be added to the debate in case I'm wrong.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just in response to that last question, it is, I think, actually, enforcement occurs maybe out of the state to our south right now. I'm not positive. But as far as the duties of the U.S. Attorney General, the good representative from Laramie County is right. Those are through the Justice Department, and each state has representatives of the Justice Department in them.
Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just to be clear, we're still talking about the same law. So you're talking about our Attorney General working for the U.S. government to enforce this law. So it would be the same thing, but we have our own Attorney General who would be, instead of defending against that, he would be enforcing that. And we still don't know who this enforcement agency would be. So he would be working at their behest. And to me, that's turning power internally against us rather than working for us and being able to defend the citizens of the state of Wyoming. Also, this is a civil penalty, so the burden of proof is much less than in a criminal penalty, and so they're basically having to prove that they're innocent instead of being proven guilty. So I will just leave you with those comments. I'll ask you to vote for the amendment, and thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 132. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 132 has failed. Senate File 132 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 133. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 133 from Senator Cooper, an act relating to game and fish.
Senate File 133 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 134. The reading clerk will read the bill.
The Senate File 134 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to wildlife and livestock.
Senate File 134 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. We're now at the order of business of third reading bills on the consent list. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: Senate File 52, 58, 92, and 101.
Would anyone wish to have any of those bills removed from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 52 from Corporations, an act relating to elections, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 58 from Appropriations, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 92 from Senator Coe, an act relating to workers' compensation, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 101 from Senator Landon, an act relating to education, be enacted by state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Krohn.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters excused. Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 52, are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Lindholm, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Blackburn, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Edmonds, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 58, are there any changes? Allen, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Baldwin, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Blackburn, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Lindholm, aye to no. Pipirinen, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 41 aye, 17 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 92, are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 101, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Senate Files 52, 58, 92, and 101 have passed the House. We're now at that order of business of third reading and final passage of bills on regular. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, in the North Gallery, we have some visitors from the Wyoming, and perhaps in the West Gallery as well, some visitors from the Wyoming Federation of Republican Women who are in town over the weekend. If you will welcome them, please.
Welcome to the House. Now we're on that order of business of third reading regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 4. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 4 from the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to agriculture, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The third time's a charm for dry beans, and I'd like to move Senate the third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File
4 and ask for your favorable consideration. We are just going ahead and inserting an exemption on page 1, line 4, and then on page 13, line 13, after the period and quotations, we're inserting any grower who has applied for and received a refund under this section for 3 consecutive calendar years may apply to the Commission for an exemption from participation in all programs established by the Commission under this Act. A grower who has been exempted from participation in the programs established by this Commission under this Act may reapply to participate in those programs at any time. So I think that clears up all the confusion, and I would ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Would anyone like to speak on the amendment? Majority Whip Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. On and against the amendment and for the bill. Once again, I don't know that this does clear up confusion about this. I think that potentially it still creates confusion because I think that we need to look at this on from a higher altitude and a broader perspective because so it says that any grower who has applied for and received a refund under this section for 3 consecutive calendar years may apply to the Commission for an exemption. But well, that's all well and good. Then it says that they can jump back in at any time that they choose. And I think that there's an issue there where the Commission in itself potentially would be having to juggle people jumping in and out of this whenever they feel like it. And I think that that just creates a lot of havoc. And so, you know, I as I said yesterday, I think that I know that one size fits all. Sometimes that's very difficult to deal with, and but by and large, we all heard the testimony from the committee from being producers. We worked on this through the interim last year, and so I think that by and large, everybody is happy with this. They're content with it. There may be some heartburn with a handful of producers, but we did hear from a lot of them, and so I think that the bill should remain as it is. And so on and against the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Steinmetz, for your second time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to withdraw this amendment, if I can, because we thought we had this all worked out and there's no reason to go through this long debate again and spend our time on this. So I'm going to withdraw this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Steinmetz. We like efficiency on this. Okay. Third reading amendment number 1. To Senate File number 4 has been withdrawn. Senate File 4, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Yes.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd. Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
no.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik, Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton, excuse, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz, Summers.
No.
Summers.
No.
Summers. Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters excused. Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harvey? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 12 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 4, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate 504, has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 44, and there is an amendment. Oh, excuse me, reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 44 from the Natural Resource Funding, an act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
And there is a third reading amendment. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 44 and ask for your favorable consideration. A couple of years ago, we made Wyoming, the state of Wyoming, a third party to all conservation easements. My amendment will ensure also that any existing public access, once a land goes into conservation easement, is maintained. Basically, it's third section on page 12. There shall be no net loss of public land or existing access for each conservation easement for which funding is authorized. This is in the spirit of Wyoming having an interest and the people of Wyoming having an interest in maintaining any existing access on or across a new conservation easement. Thank you, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion on the amendment. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I would offer extreme caution on this amendment. I share the sentiment of how this amendment was coming, but it just creates further problems. The first of all is the Resource Trust is statutorily right now prohibited to require access on any property. So by putting this into the law, we're going to have two statutes that are in conflict, and that's 915-103. The price of the easements do not include access. If there is going to be access, that's, as the good speaker talked about the other day, that's another stick in the bundle, and we would have to purchase that. The term that's existing access is undefined, and questions would come up as well. What is the landowner? Because the landowners don't change ownership of it. So, what was the access before that the landowner had? What was before, and that would cause all sorts of problems. Does that mean that the people that he's been allowing to hunt elk on that easement for years, does that mean we have to maintain that number with increased elk habitat? We may want to do some other things. The other thing is who and how would these existing access be determined? Who's going to regulate this? Who's going to enforce what's going on? The loss of public land is up to the discretion of the federal land management agencies that cooperate with this and cannot be dictated by a Wyoming statute. By putting this in, we would preclude land exchanges, sales to local governments, and other commonly managed alternatives. So I would strongly suggest that you resist this amendment, even with the very good intentions of keeping access alive. I don't think this is the way to do it.
Minority Floor Leader Throne.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I'd like to call a point of order on this amendment. I think it's outside the scope of the bill.
The chair would call for a rules committee. Please come to the front. Hold on just a second. And the House will stand at ease while we discuss it. The House will come back to order. The ladies and gentlemen, the Rules Committee finds the amendment germane to the bill, and that the amendment is pertains to this bill, Senate File 44. And the next speaker is Representative Summers.
Madam Majority Floor Leader, thank you. I stand on and against this amendment. And there's two primary reasons I do. One is existing access is not defined. So I have a conservation easement on my place, and I allow Uncle Joe to go hunting, and then I sell my place. Does that mean the next guy has to let Uncle Joe go hunting, or can he let somebody else? So there's a lot of private arrangements that are involved in access, and the way this is stated, it's unclear. So I think it's too unclear to justify this amendment. And the other issue is no net loss of public land. I don't know how you can have a loss of public land through a conservation easement. That's totally up to the federal government how they dispose of lands. It just doesn't happen. And I guess even state land, I don't know how that would happen. So I don't believe it's relevant. I stand against this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. On and for the amendment, this is not a big deal because I don't think it's going to affect a lot of things, but there are going to be those instances where there's some sort of deal going on where some state land or federal land's involved, and again, to maintain access to our lands in Wyoming for our sportsmen, that's so important. This is a simple amendment that makes them pay attention, make them do these deals that respect the hunters and fishermen in Wyoming. And, you know, frankly, I don't even know why these type deals are even constitutional.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I like the concept behind this amendment, but I'm going to be a no vote. And my concern is, again, that I think the access issue is not clear. And if this is a concern, I think it's something that we maybe need to look at the wording over the course of another year or so, because I was thinking, for example, of the walk-in fishing areas and walk-in hunting areas that we are able to access when private landowners basically, out of the goodness of their heart, offer people, the average citizen, to walk into their private land and fish or hunt. That's an access. But if we were to say that once you have allowed the public to fish or hunt on your land, that you can never stop doing that if you decide to do, or your heirs decide to have a conservation easement, I just think that that's probably unintendedly restrictive, but I think the wording needs to be better, and so I would vote no on this particular amendment and look forward to something next year.
Minority Leader Thrum.
Thank you, Madam Majority Leader. I thought at the suggestion of my good seatmate, I thought it would be worthwhile to explain a little bit about the rules decision, just because some of this discussion, I think, is going beyond the scope of the amendment. The finding of the Rules Committee was that the only reason this amendment is germane to the bill is because it only applies to the one conservation easement under consideration in this bill. It will not apply to all future conservation easements. That would require a statutory change. So I just wanted the floor to understand that, because it might limit your debate or change your debate. And also, I guess my question related to the amendment was, do we have a particular concern about access with the easement that is under consideration in the bill? Thank you.
Representative Yegi.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Couple things, and I think we brought up some good points and some concerns, but one thing we need to remember, we're putting the state's money into these, And we're not asking anybody to do anything that they haven't already been doing. And so if we're putting state money in and the owner, present owner, allows the access, and I just think that's not a bad thing to consider. If we weren't putting state money in, I don't think, you know, this would be a big discussion for me. But also it was brought up that some of these lands provide access to other lands, BLM, Forest Service, whatever, and I think this is worth considering. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. I would ask you to think about that last statement. It's not going to prevent, ask anybody to do anything except what they've been doing. What's the net result of that? Any landowner worth his salt who thinks someday for estate planning purposes or some other purpose, or maybe for altruistic purposes, intends to grant a conservation easement, is going to do what? Immediately close his land to the public. Even if he's allowing the public in there now, he's saying, look, I see a trap here, so I'm going to close my land to the public so that if I do a conservation easement someday, I'm not caught in this on this hook of that I have to do what I've always been doing. I don't think that's the result that we want. Second of all, this whole access thing, it is a separate issue from whether we want to maintain habitat or not. And I would take you back to the Act. And the Act says that the board can, this would be the Wildlife Trust Fund Board, can expend funds for the following purposes. And here's what the Act's all about. Here's what we're trying to do. One, improvement and maintenance of existing terrestrial habitat necessary to maintain optimum wildlife populations. Two, preservation of open spaces by purchase or acquisition of development rights. Three, improvement and maintenance of existing aquatic habitat necessary to maintain optimum fish populations. Four, acquisition of terrestrial or aquatic habitat when existing habitat is determined critical or is present in minimal amounts and acquisition presents the necessary factor in attaining or preserving desired wildlife or fish population levels. Five, conservation, maintenance, protection, and development of wildlife resources, the environment, and Wyoming's natural resource heritage. Six, participation in water enhancement projects to benefit aquatic habitat for fish populations and allow for other watershed improvements that benefit wildlife. Seven, to address and mitigate impacts detrimental to wildlife habitat, the environment, and multiple use of renewable natural resources attributable to residential, mineral, or industrial development. And to mitigate conflicts and reduce potential for disease transmission between wildlife and domestic livestock. I didn't hear public access in there anywhere. It's not about buying public hunting grounds for the public. That is a separate issue, and we can do that. In some states, they do that. But that is going to be more money, and we're buying a different thing, and that's not what we're trying to do here. This is about habitat. It's about critical habitat. It's about wildlife, and it's about fish. Now, it occurs to me, as I was thinking about this, that there's some conflict within our state, and to some extent how you feel about this might be where you live. In some parts of our state, development isn't perceived to be a threat to wildlife or a threat to habitat. In other parts of the state, like my county, it is a threat. And what this is doing is trying to mitigate the threats and take away the threat that someday we won't have any wildlife habitat left or we won't have any view sheds left. And I know parts of the state where you all live. My dad was a traveling salesman. From the time I could walk, I went with my dad every summer, and there's hardly any nook or cranny in this state I haven't been at one time or another. And I remember when I was a little kid, I'm going to say something here I'd rather not say, but in the late 1940s, That was just shortly after the big war. I remember traveling the first time with my dad on the cutoff that goes from the town where I think the saying goes, when you call me that smile, to the town in the middle of the state. And it was on a two-track road, and we stopped at that ranch that's in the middle there, and I remember I was just old enough. I got out and opened the gate to the horse corral because you had to go through the horse corral on that road. Now contrast that with what you see today. In some of your areas, you haven't had development. But on that cutoff, to a lot of people, it still seems desolate. But to me, there's been an awful lot of activity out there since I was a little kid. And then you look at my county and the road that goes straight west of the mountains and the road that goes southwest to the mountains, and they're string towns. And what I mean by string towns is there's been development, usually by out-of-state developers, out-of-state people who have come in, bought that land and divided it into 40-acre tracts. And now, and especially the road going southwest, it used to be one of the most beautiful drives going down to the ski area where, you know, I like to ski in the morning with the shafts of sunlight and all the view shed out there and everything. Today, it's not that. Today, it's different. It's developed, and it's just a string town along the highway. There's nothing behind it. So my perception might be different from some other parts of the state where you can drive an hour and not see anything but wildlife. And so what this is about is that. It's about view sheds, and it's about habitat, and it's about wildlife, and it's about all the things that we brag about in our state all the time. Now, we can buy access if we want to, but for a lesser amount, in a more targeted manner, to protect the things that we brag about, we can just buy the development rights. We can just stop development. Because we all know that once those 40-acre developments take place, and another place, just go north of this city, just drive north of this city, not up the interstate, but off toward the town over by the eastern edge of the state. Just drive out the highway and drive out as far as our former member's ranch, and I remember that ranch was out in the sticks, and now there's 40-acre development all the way to it, and you're not going to see these kind of things that this act is trying to protect. So I would just ask you to remember that, and let's not emasculate this act by taking away or compromising what it's trying to do. It's trying to do a simple thing. It's trying to leave people be and leave them alone and just say, you can continue to make an agricultural use. You can do all the things that you've historically done out there, and we only want a couple of things. We want habitat for wildlife, and we want the view sheds. We want the things that we brag about that we have in Wyoming. And if we want to buy access at a different time, let's do it in a different place. Let's not try to deplete the Wildlife Trust Fund to buy public access, because that's not what it's for. What it's for is to protect the values that we like to brag about, that Wyoming, the things in Wyoming that we're so proud of. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Burkhart, for your first time.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. One thing with this amendment we have to remember, there's only one conservation easement in this bill, and that's all this amendment talks to, as one of the previous speakers said. There is no public land involved in this easement. It is private land, and it doesn't control access to any public land. What this amendment is doing is telling a landowner how they can and cannot use their land. Not just the easement, but you're putting a restriction on them by statute saying you can't change what you do. It's still their land. It's still in their name. They just provide a conservation easement mainly for elk migration in this area and some wintering, which I would tell you probably there's probably no elk there during hunting season. If you want to go take pictures during the winter, fine. But on and against the amendment, I think it just confuses this issue tremendously. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for your second time prior to the sponsor of the amendment? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Again, I offer caution to this amendment. Remember that this is only one easement about 2,000 acres. And the idea of, limiting or providing access may cause problems in the past, or in the future, excuse me. Another part of this bill is talking about the research, and when I was in the Appropriations Committee, there was a lot of questions on how this research was going on and what they're finding. They're finding that different plants at different times of the year, at different places, have significant benefits for wildlife. So what happens is if we put in that there's going to be no net loss of access, when we get research, and this is pure speculative, that comes back and says, for 4 months or 5 months out of the year, we shouldn't disturb this herd very much besides your own livestock going, we can't do that because the law will say that you cannot prevent the access that has been historically there. And to go back to the original arguments that I came up there is to define what current access is and who would monitor and enforce that, that's problematic. I think that if we want to tackle this issue, we don't do it in one bill for one ranch. What we do is we wait and we bring it up as a whole concept for everything that we do. So I understand the intention, but I think that there's unintended consequences that we should all be aware of.
Representative Halverson, for your second time.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. This is not a buy access amendment by any stretch. There's a department and a commission in this state that has a very active access purchasing unit, and I wish them luck with it. The law referred to goes on to say regarding trust accounts, says that the board shall not require public access to private land as a condition to receive any grant funds under this act. No one is requiring access. This amendment just serves to protect existing access for the people of Wyoming with Wyoming's money. And I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
You've heard third reading Amendment number 1 to Senate File 44. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 44 has failed. We are on to second reading amendment number 2, or third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 44. Representative Yegi.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File number 44. And I will remove this. And I didn't know how else to get up here and give a little bit of history on the Wildlife Trust Fund for especially the new folks that are here without doing this. So I am not opposed to this. And this just gives us a good way that we can talk about it. The folks that run the Wildlife Trust Fund have been very helpful every time over the years I've asked of anything. And I went to their website this morning and just got some things that I had in my mind, but just got it. The Wildlife Trust Fund Natural Resource Trust was started in 2005, and it's funded with the interest from the permanent account, donations that come in, and the legislative appropriation. And, of course, what we're trying to do with this is enhance and take care of what we have here in Wyoming and what we love here in Wyoming. They've done 446 projects in all 23 counties with nearly $49 million put in from the trust. And, of course, that money is added, too, so it's multiplied. They get a lot of bang for their buck on this one. And they're really trying to maintain the agriculture operations, conservation businesses, other job-related enterprises. And one thing that we all are very interested in is the tourist industry. With all this enhancement, our ag land and so forth. So I think the Wildlife Trust Fund has done a lot of good. I got a handout for you this morning and talking switching from the trust fund to the conservation easements. If you want to look at this one, it just came in your box. What it has on is the about 4 years of the conservation easements, how many we've given and kind of the names and who sponsors them. Just tell you a little bit about those. There's our funds that come out of the trust fund that go into this, and we only have one conservation easement this year, but they come from the NRCS, the PRPP. The federal government has given, they usually fund about half of the money that goes into a conservation easement. And as you can see, in 2012 and 2013, there was a lot of federal money. And the director took advantage of that money and tried to enhance, and that's why there's so many. And I think in 2011, and we've got a member here that has talked about his conservation easement, that he has he's taken advantage of this and helped his operation. If you'll turn over on the back page, you can see there was only four of them in 2014. And, go back. Well, this one tells you the sponsoring agency. Somebody always sponsors it. And the Conservation Fund, the Wyoming Game and Fish, the Stock Growers Land Trust. This year, the 2015, the one in the Little Laramie, is sponsored by the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. So there's always going to be a sponsoring agency. And one of the things that these are the talking points I've had at the bottom on the back of the page. The conservation easements are a private owner's decision, and I'd never take that away. A private owner can do what he wants with his land, and if he wants to put it in a conservation easement, that is totally his, and I'd never talk about taking that away from them. I just remind you that we have, 54% of our state and federal lands in the West. BLM, Forest Service. And one of the things that bothers me about the conservation easements is they're in perpetuity. If they would only go 50 years or whatever, but they're set up to be in perpetuity. And the people that want to help fund these, the federal government especially, is putting 50% of the money in, and they want these forever and ever. That's kind of a concern. You think is what we're doing today with this generation on this ranch, is it going to be that way in, four generations later? You're tying your hands to that, and that's totally up to the landowner. They can put any restrictions, any accesses, anything they want, but they do it when they set it up. And you're setting it up right now, today, for the rest of this land's history, in perpetuity. That kind of bothers me. And when other conditions or tools come available, you really don't have any say on your private land without going to the sponsoring people, the federal government. And I would just wonder, has the wildlife, the livestock, the production been enhanced? We hope it has, and I would guess it has, but we really don't track any of that. The landowner does get a big payment. He gets, and of that payment, he gives some back. Well, he doesn't give it back because he never gets it, but it's a good tax write-off for them. So there's some benefits that of the landowner doing this. I would wonder if the landowner that has the conservation easement, his land decreases a little bit in value because he's got an encumbrance against it. The neighboring ranch doesn't have that encumbrance. Something to think about. But that is all the landowner's private decision. And I respect that like crazy. We have had, since I've been here, one of the entities that have sponsored a conservation easement went out of business. And it had to be renegotiated and somebody else picked up the conservation easement. So it stayed the same. But that's a little bit of the worry. And then my last two bullet points there, I wonder why the federal government's putting 50% of the money into this conservation easement. That should, you know, make us a little bit alarmed, and this is in perpetuity. But get off my little soapbox, and I hope that helps you understand about what the Wildlife Trust Fund is, a little bit about the conservation easements, and the director of the Wildlife Trust Fund, as I was talking to him yesterday, he said he just doesn't think we're going to have many conservation easements because the federal government doesn't have the money that they used to in the funds that they had. So he's anticipating maybe one or two a year in the future. So there's some information if anybody would like to say anything about them, and then I'll withdraw the amendment.
Mr. Speaker.
Madam Chairman, really quick, I don't want to waste a lot more time about this, but there's this concept that that spending public money on these things is bad. And I just disagree with that because there's a public benefit that's being purchased. And that is exactly what I talked about, the wildlife habitat and the view sheds and the openness and the things that we brag about, that Wyoming's about. And there is a member on this floor, and I think he's far too modest about it, but there's a member on this floor that donated what, in my mind, might be the most primo conservation easement in the state of Wyoming. And you ought to go ask him to give you a tour sometime, and you ought to have a look at it for yourself and ask yourself. I think you'd just lay down and be sick at the thought of that piece of land being divided up into 40-acre parcels and trailer houses and horse corrals and stuff littered across it. And it would terminate it as the habitat that it is today. And we owe him a great deal for having donated that. And long after we're dead, people will look at that piece of land and that's protected and marvel at what a beautiful place it is. And it's not going to be that way. And I've argued before, this business of perpetuity, you know, this city's in perpetuity. It's never leaving. There's no more wildlife habitat where this city is. And so they argue, well, it shouldn't be perpetual. Maybe the city shouldn't. Is the city going to be gone in 50 years so that, yeah, I don't want this nickname back on me again, but so an elk can come back in here again and lay down and rest? I don't think so. And so that's what we're trying to protect. And that road that I was talking about, it was a two-track road when I was a little kid, and people drive it today and they don't even think. That's the thing, it creeps all the time. They don't even think about what it used to be. It was a little two-track road for a long, long ways, miles and miles and miles. And then I remember when they paved it, and I thought, oh, it's starting. And then I tell you what really killed me is when they put in the highway right-of-way fences. There didn't used to be any right-of-way fences. And you come over a hill, you better be ready, because there might be a cow standing in the middle of the road. There might be an antelope there. And it was. And then they put in the right-of-way fences. And then there's other little things that go on, little things that go on, little things that go on. Well, where does it stop? And where do you just finally say, enough's enough? If we're going to be Wyoming, then we're going to, then we've got to protect that habitat and view sheds. So that's why we have the act. That's why I think it's a good expenditure. It's a worthy expenditure of public money to protect those things for our heritage.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I'll try to be very brief, although I want to tell a great story. You have to remember that when we're talking about conservation easements, that they're voluntary. The trust fund has limited to 25% of the easement, so there is, at least by their own rules, and I don't know if that's in statute, that it's limited. These easements help families transfer their property from one generation to another, and I think that that's important. What these easements really do is prevent subdivisions. And I'm here today because my family in Germany, or that place that started World War I or World War II, had a law. And basically what that law had to do with farming. And what that law did is that they saw that there was great harm in their agricultural industry if they kept on subdividing farms. So the law said that you could only one person could inherit the farm. And my generation, or my great-great-grandfather, was not the oldest male and got kicked out and came to the United States. I think that the same theory could be put for wildlife, because we have to have that habitat for perpetuity, because if we don't, it's going to disappear. The other thing that I hope we haven't lost sight of is that this bill, Senate File 144, also has money for research. It has money to help irrigated lands and ranches that are also attached to this. It has stabilization of soils by using wildlife itself to where that we can increase wildlife in the streams and also stabilize the land. I strongly support this bill and hope that you will do the same.
Representative Yagi, for your brief statement.
Thanks for the discussion and speaker and previous speaker helping us understand. We do have about 98,000 square miles and 63 million acres, and we put 500,000 acres into conservation easement. So that puts it in a little bit of perspective. And I'll remove the amendment at this time, Madam.
Thank you, Representative Yagi. Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 142 has been withdrawn. We're at that order of business of third Senate File. I know. 142, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the bill.
Point of order.
Oh, I'm sorry, 44. Senate File 44.
Allen. No. Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem. Connolly, Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
No.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters excused, Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 13 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 44, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 44 has passed the House. The next bill for consideration is Senate File 142.
Senate File 142 from Senator Driscoll, an act relating to fire protection, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 142 does have an amendment. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 142, and I'll give you the genesis behind this amendment. Over the time, as this bill has been in this side of the House, we've been working it. We've had some really good conversations, and we've been able to learn a lot over the last several days. And I've done a lot of work amongst the colleagues on this floor, amongst the certain association that may or may not represent municipalities in the state of Wyoming, and we've come across a pretty good amendment here, and I'd ask for your favorable aye vote. What we're doing is inserting on A, right before it, we're going to insert except as provided in this article for any county or municipality requesting and granted local enforcement authority pursuant to Wyoming Statute 359-121, and then the rest of it will read, no state or local official authorized to enforce the provision of this article shall interpret or enforce any building codes or standards adopted by the state or local enforcement entity in a way that is more stringent or burdensome than required by the standards or codes. And I'd also stand for any questions if there are any.
The question being called on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 144. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 142 has passed the House. The next amendment for our consideration, second reading amendment, is Representative Baker.
Thank you, Madam Majority Floor Leader. I respectfully withdraw third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 142.
Thank you very much, Representative Baker. Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 142 has been withdrawn. Senate File 142 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly. Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz, Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pipirinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne, Walters,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters, excused, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Bird? Are there any changes? Harvey? No to aye. Yagi? No to aye. Baker? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 42 ayes, 16 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 142, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 142 has passed the House. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
Well, if and when we ever get the opportunity to break for lunch, we have some entertainment that will be in the Hersler atrium at 12:15 or whenever we can get over there. They are the UW Singing Statesmen, and they are located in the north and the west balconies, and they are being sponsored by the Wyoming Arts Alliance, and that sponsor is Karen Rossi, who is up there with them. So let's give them a warm welcome to the House.
Well, welcome back to the House. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, while we were having that riveting debate, I was hoping that they could serenade us from the gallery earlier. But they now know a lot about conservation easements. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House stand in recess until 1:30. 1:30.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. We're in recess until 1:30.